Welcome to Writers with Wrinkles, where authors Beth McMullen and Lisa Schmid iron out the wrinkles in writing, publishing, and everything in between, one podcast at a time.
Hi, friends. I'm Beth McMullen.
And I'm Lisa Schmid.
And we're the co-hosts of Writers with Wrinkles. This is season 3, episode 14. And today we are excited to welcome Lisa Riddio to the show as part of the Big Picture series. Lisa is a Northern California-based writer whose projects include picture books, middle grade, personal essays, and short fiction. Lisa has an MFA in writing for children and young adults from Hamline University. She is a former sales executive, a backyard squirrel watcher, and a frequent baker of chocolate pound cake. Her newest picture book, Pie Rats, just released on March 12th. So welcome, Lisa. We are so happy you could join us today.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So I am, you know, I'm a huge fan of yours.
Thank you, Lisa. Likewise.
And I especially love your new book, Pie Rats. It is so darn cute. And full disclosure, Lisa sent it over to me in a PDF so I could review it. And it is the funniest, cutest thing ever on the planet. I love it so much. The ending is hysterical. And children across the world will be shouting, pie, pie, pie.
That's what I hope will happen.
You're good at so many things, especially writing picture books in rhyme. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show. And it's because, you know, there's all this like little kerfuffle about picture books, specifically rhyming picture books. And I remember there was an editor who posted a tweet about like, if you're writing picture books, just don't even bother doing rhyming.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you know about it.
Oh, yeah.
And it created this whole little Twitter storm. And then I started looking into it. And it's not that agents and editors don't want picture books. They just want them done well. And so I think there's a real art to doing rhyming picture books. And I started looking into it and I'm like, I could never do this. So I'm calling my friend Lisa and inviting her on the show and she can tell us how to do it. There's like a whole mystery around it because I think so many people have been scared off of doing rhyming picture books because of all that, you know, there's this huge stigma around it. But there really isn't. They still are really popular. When every time I open one, I'm like, it's a rhyming picture book. So they're clearly wanted. So let's talk about how to do them well.
Well, I think it's interesting. You know, you hear that all the time that the agents and editors don't want rhyme. And I have an analogy, and hopefully I won't offend anyone by saying this, but I was listening to Tara Lazar on some webinar talk about writing funny picture books. And she flat out said, if you are not a funny person, you're going to have a hard time writing funny picture books. Like, you need to naturally be funny. Like, are you funny in your life? Do you say funny things? Do you make people laugh? You know, that kind of thing. And I was like, yeah, I this is good. I need to hear this, but maybe some people didn't want to hear that sort of a thing. And I kind of feel that way a little bit about rhyme. Like, you can learn how to rhyme well. Certainly you can. But I think that some people just naturally hear it. They naturally know how to rhyme. Maybe they are, you know, walking around their house saying things that rhyme like me, you know, and they've been doing that for their whole life. I mean, my poor kids, I want to rhyme everything. Like, I'm just a rhymer. Like, you know, the Harry Potter craze was happening and I immediately jumped on the fact that I'm a muggle and I would tell my kids, come huggle your muggle, you know, like things like that. You know, I mean, it just, rhyming is fun. And so if you're really not a rhyming person in your life, it's going to be hard to write good rhyme. I think I kind of made a little list here of like, why is it, you know, what trips people up in their rhyme? You know, they have bad rhyme. They use slant rhyme when they shouldn't. They have boring rhyme schemes. They are not rhyming interesting words that are very specifically related to their theme or topic. They're just rhyming boring words that aren't really part of what their story is about, right? And I think that, you know, then there's all that. I also joke about, you know, all the serious stuff about rhyming, like the different rhyme schemes and the, I call it the pterodactyl, Anapest, Budapest, because I get them all mixed up. There's the trope, you know, there's the trochee, Dactyl, Anapest, Spondee, like all of them. But I could get my note cards and explain them to you, but I don't have it memorized. I just hear it.
Right.
So when I hear a bad rhyme, or I hear one that's slightly off, or the beat isn't working, or the rhythm is wrong, or there's a forced rhyme, you have to say the word inside out. They call it Yoda speak. I hear it immediately and I'm like, oh. And that's not to say that every parent or young reader is going to react that way to a not so great rhyme, but certainly the editors and agents, I think.
The bar is really high for it to be done well. And it's complicated, right? I think that people assume, okay, it's a picture book and it rhymes and it's cute or it's funny. It's got that sing-songy quality. And so they don't understand or respect the difficult process of getting it to be that, have that flow where you aren't, it just goes naturally, where you aren't tripping over those words that are maybe not the right ones or don't quite work the way they intended. I wrote a song lyric for a manuscript that I'm hopefully will be shopping soon. It's an adult fiction and it's got a rock star in it and he writes this song. And so I was trying to write like a stanza of a pop song rhyming, and it was terrible. I mean, it took me all day to just get it to someplace where I wasn't embarrassed, fully knowing that if an editor ever gets their hands on this, they're just going to put a big red X through it. But even to get it to the point where I was willing to show my agent, and what you just said, suddenly it made sense. I am not a rhyming person. Like, I am missing that fundamental part of my brain. I think that's so interesting. I never thought about it as being like, this is this type of person you can rhyme. And I'm the kind of person who can't rhyme well.
Yeah. And I don't want to like, that's not to say you can't rhyme, because you can, but I think it just is easier and more natural for some people. Like, you know, some people that like with the Tara Lazar thing, people that are really writing funny books, they have a funny bone, right? They're the comedian in their household, or maybe they were, you know, the funny kid in school or whatever.
Why do you think that for picture books, rhyming is important for these young readers?
I know why I think it's important, and it comes down to who I was as a young reader and when I was a kid. And my dad read to me all the time, picture books and, you know, chapter books and whatever. And when I was little, I have very, very specific memories of hearing my favorite rhyming picture books and feeling, you know, all the usual things, like the feeling joyful and it's fun and it's got a rhythm and a beat and you're tapping your foot on the ground. There's surprising words maybe, but it's when you know what the rhyme is, and this is in particular with refrains, you know what the refrain is, you feel smart as a kid, you know it's coming and you can say it before it is read. Or you read it along with the person reading, even if you're not really a reader yet. For me, that's why I think it's so important. Like I can remember this book. It was a Berenstain Bears book. And I actually need to go find a copy of it. But it was called Inside Outside Upside Down. Do either of you remember this book? I just know, I can tell you right now, the ending stanza of that book is, Mama, Mama, we went to town, inside, outside, upside down. And I mean, I'll never forget it. And we would get to the end page, and I would say it, right, as a little four-year-old or whatever. And I felt smart.
That is such an interesting answer, because I don't think people think about that, the confidence that it will give young readers to be able to say the words. And then, of course, there's that learning that's going on. You're saying the word, you're seeing the word, and that's how you're learning how to read, ultimately.
And there's something about the hearing, right? The hearing. I was just reading this book, This Is Your Brain on Art. But there's something about the hearing. There's the audio part of it. So you're hearing this rhythm, you're hearing this beat, you're hearing the rhyme, and you're seeing the words, or a parent is reading to you, or a teacher, a librarian, or whatever. And all of that together is stimulating your whole experience with that book, and having the knowing as a small person, you know, that you know what the word is that it's going to land on, that the little sentence is going to land on.
So what elements do you think make a rhyming picture book successful? I think you kind of touched on a few of those things, but do a little bit of a deeper dive into that.
I really think that, you know, I mean, obviously the rhymes have to be interesting. You know, you don't want those, you know, rhyming say with play and, you know, boy with toy. I mean, there's times when that is necessary and it works and it's fine. And particularly in a refrain, simplicity, I believe, is great for a refrain and that whole idea of the kid knowing what's coming. You might want, you know, sort of simpler words, but having interesting, unexpected words that rhyme, I think is critically important. But I also think that all of the elements of craft need to be in your rhyming picture book. And I mean, like, obviously, you've got a story, you've got a plot, you've got an arc, you've got rising action, there's a crisis, there's a climax, there's some kind of interesting surprise ending, maybe. You've got characterization through possibly great dialogue. You have a very distinct setting, you've got POV, you've got a particular theme or two or three or whatever. All of those things have to be there. And then when it rhymes, it's like the icing on the cake. It's like the icing with the extra fluffy topping and the sprinkles, but you have all of those base layers of the elements of craft.
It's so magical when you're reading a picture book that rhymes and it, all those elements do come in. And there was one, and we talked about this yesterday when I was talking to you on the phone. I want you to tell the two little stories. One, the gold doubloons, how you work that in to your pie story. And then also the rat line story, because I remember when you were struggling with this during edits and then how you stumbled upon it, the serendipity that was involved with that, it was so brilliant. And I just remember being so excited for you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think that one of my opening lines in my book is, pirates don't want gold doubloons. Their bounty comes on forks and spoons. So this is an interesting rhyme, if I don't mind saying so myself. Like, this is, you know, I'm rhyming gold doubloons with forks and spoons. And if you think about it, when I talk about, like, you want your rhyming words to be very specifically about your story. Gold doubloons are very piratey. Forks and spoons are the whole dessert element of this book. So yeah, there you could maybe find something else to rhyme with gold doubloons, but forks and spoons, I mean, come on. Like, it's a challenge. And it's like, I accept the challenge, right? Like, right. Bring it on. I want to find the best, most interesting, surprising words, to work into my rhyme scheme. So
when you're starting off with like you've come up with your theme of your story, do you just go and start searching for words that are associated with that and then go from there and kind of build your rhyming around that structure?
For me, with my picture books, I usually start with like a title. I'm all about wordplay. That just seems to be where it starts. And then I do like word banks, right? So when I landed on pirates, and I, of course, thought I invented this term, come to find out there are many types of pirate books out there. I had to start thinking about pirates as like unicorns. People write about unicorns. People write about pirates. My agent said, Lisa, there are no new ideas. Because I was so sad when I, you know, discovered that I did not.
New to you, right? It's a new to you idea.
It was new to me, but it was not new to children's literature. Anyway, I still went with it. I still kept going.
Lisa, I have to tell you something. This is so funny. Like, right after you told me, like, you had a book coming out called Pirates, like probably a week later on Twitter, somebody, like, I think it was in England, announced a book called Pirates. And I was like, huh. I'm like, well, I'm not forwarding that out.
Yeah, I was very disappointed for a while. And then I just, like I said, I just changed my mindset. And I was like, look, I'm writing about pirates. Other people do too. Fine. You know, whatever. It's okay.
It has to. It does. And tell me about the rat line.
Yes. Oh, so the rat line. Okay. So I had a situation in this book where the illustrations were already done. And there was a little mix up in one of my rhyming couplets. And basically what I had to do is I was challenged with making my rhyme fit the picture, fit the illustration in just the right way. What had happened was, you know, my refrain is from the poop deck or from the wherever, from the poop deck, hear them cry, pie, 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 pie. And let me just interject that with refrains, I believe that the simplicity actually works well for that whole, like, kid trying to know it and repeat it as opposed to more of a complicated type of a rhyme elsewhere. But at any rate, the rhyme, now I can't even remember what the old rhyme was, but essentially the rhyme was something like from the bulkhead, hear them cry, pie, 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 pie. And what it had been was that the pie rats had been drenched by the storm and they were all huddled in the bulkhead of the ship, like shivering, like the rhyme was something about shivering and shaking and from the bulkhead, hear them cry. Only we didn't get to have that picture. We couldn't have the picture of them in the bulkhead. The picture was them on the ship with the typhoon going and the pie rats are flying all over the place. And I had to change the rhyme. And I had already used everything. Like I'd already used from the poop deck, from the main deck, from the crow's nest, from the galley, you know, from everything. And I was like, I don't know what to do. And so I just racked my brain. I did all this research on pirate ships. And just before giving up, I found this diagram of a pirate ship that showed the little rope ladders that kind of climb up the sail. Those are called rat lines. Who knew? They were already in the illustration and the pirates were like hanging on the rat lines. And so there it was, from the rat lines, hear them cry, pie, 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 pie. And so my editor thought I was brilliant. So it all worked out.
That is such an interesting challenge, right? Like, okay, now you have the picture and you're really confined to what you can do.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. Probably not a little bit of panic when confronted with that situation at that late stage of the game.
Yes. I think I probably called you, Lisa. I think I did have a panic and I was like, oh my goodness.
Help.
Yeah. And then I just like did it. You know, I figured it out. It can be figured out. There are solutions, problem solutions.
So rhyming is complicated. We know that now. What is the difference between perfect rhyme and slant rhyme? And I'm actually super interested to hear the answer because I have no idea.
I love this. My general definition would be perfect rhyme is literally a perfect rhyme, like gold doubloons, forks, and spoons. It hits the beats, it works, right? A slant rhyme is when a word sounds like another word, but it doesn't perfectly rhyme. And I'm going to give you an example. I actually was texting with my friend, Amy Lucido. I don't know if you guys know Amy Lucido. She has a picture book coming out in July and it's called Pasta, Pasta, Lots of Pasta. And it's almost entirely written in slant rhyme. So I said, oh, will you send me an example of one of your rhymes? All right, here we go. Knead the dough like I'm a baker. Roll it out. It's thin as paper. Cut it for lasagna layers. So we have baker, paper, and layers. Okay. Those are not perfect rhymes. They're slant rhymes. Here's another example. Sift the flour from a crater. Bye-bye, eggshell. See you later. Add some basil just for flavor. Stir and stir. We're pasta makers. So in this one, we did have a perfect internal rhyme with crater and later, but then that went with flavor and makers. So do you see that?
Yeah.
How that works? So why, you know, can you use slant? What are you supposed to do? And so what I kind of came up with is it's all about, and Amy was helping me with this, it's all about the promise that you set out from the start and you are making a promise to your reader by the way your picture book starts out. If you're starting out with, you know, two stanzas as a perfect rhyme, your reader is expecting perfect rhyme all the way through. My opinion is, I feel like it should be all perfect rhyme if that is the promise you're making. On the flip side of the coin, if you are starting out with slant rhyme and maybe there's a perfect rhyme thrown in here and there, the promise is this is a slant rhyme book, but you can't mix it up. Like you can't be writing a story in perfect rhyme and then you can't find the right word. So you throw in a slant rhyme, it wrecks it. Right? Do you see what I mean? So this was my bottom line on this question. And then, of course, I made it into a rhyme. When you promise perfect rhyme, you must deliver every time.
Stop it.
Yeah, that's the answer. So for me, my books are all in perfect rhyme, but Amy has masterfully created this beautiful book that is almost entirely in slant rhyme, which is more or less how they write lyrics, you know, musical lyrics has a lot of slant rhyme in it.
I sometimes feel with slant rhyme that the author is winking a little at the reader. You know, you're kind of in on it, but I think you're right. I think if it goes back and forth, it's going to be really jarring to your ear.
Yeah, I think my bottom line on this, and this is just my personal opinion, is that it has to do with what you're promising up front. If you have basically shown that you're going to use both, then you're going to use both and maybe it's going to work fine. But if you're showing perfect rhyme, I don't think you can sneak one in. I'm not saying you can't, but you probably can. I think sometimes it feels like cheating. That's just my personal opinion.
I didn't know about perfect rhyme and slant rhyme before you introduced it to me the other day. Do you ever do slant rhyme or do you just do perfect rhyme?
So far I've only done perfect rhyme, but like I said, like I love this book that Amy has written and I'm like, wow, she's got the slant rhyme going on and it's awesome. So, you know, who knows? But so far I gravitate toward that perfect rhyme.
I can hardly wait till I'm at a conference and I hear some people talking, like picture book people talking in their little circle. And I'm going to be like, hey man, do you do perfect or slant? Like, what's your jam?
You're going to be writing a rhyming picture book before you know it, Lisa.
Oh, I will not. We barely, like Beth and I together, like, working on a picture book. Can you even imagine if we had to do a picture book that was rhyming, Beth?
Never. It would be a catastrophe. I told you I can't rhyme. I am rhyme deficient. Let's think of other things that we can call it, but that's why I love them so much. My favorite picture books are rhyming mm-hmm. picture books because they're fun to read. And when my kids were little, I always gravitated toward those. And I was always kind of disappointed when I opened a picture book and I was like, where's my rhymes? There are no rhymes in here. And, you know, a lot of them were good anyway, but I was still a little disappointed.
So Lisa, we've touched on a lot of this, but what is your actual process for writing your picture books?
I'm all about the word play. Like I really feel like when I'm writing rhyming picture books, I'm like playing with words, right? I'm just like finding the cool words and I'm seeing what I can do with them and I'm seeing how the meanings come out. So I feel like I said, you know, I kind of start with a title, like some idea will come into my head or I'll be playing with puns or I don't know. But I usually start with a title and then I usually go to like word banks. So like in the example of pie rats, you know, we've got pie, we've got pirates, and we've got rats. So we have three different sort of subjects to draw from. So I will make like a list of all the words that are related to pirating, you know, maybe all the phrases, all the like their belts and their buckles and their swords and whatever. And then I might go to the rats and write all the words I can think of, or, you know, I might even go to a rhyme zone online or whatever, and all the rat words. And then it's all the pie words, the rolling pin and the crust. And people who know me know I'm all about the crust. It's all about the crust. So, you know, yeah, those words and then all the pie flavors and like, I don't know, a serving knife and, you know, the forks and the spoons, all those things. And then I might just start rhyming things. Well, what words in all these word banks might be good rhymes? And so I might not really know the story yet. Like I'm just playing with the words, I'm playing. And then maybe I just kind of barf out some kind of bad story. Like it's not really a story, but I've got some rhymes in there that I like. And then that's when I have to find the story. And that's when I go back to, you know, the elements of craft. Like, what is the story? What is my characterization? You know, all those things. And I just make sure it's legit, right? And usually I go through a lot of different rhymes, a lot. And when you're working on rhyme, and Beth, you maybe experienced this when you were writing the lyrics, is you can go down that rabbit hole of being like lost in trying to find a rhyme for like 4 hours. And you look up and you're like, oh my God, it's midnight, you know, and you've been working on one rhyme. I love it. It's so fun to me. I love spending time working on rhymes.
You have more picture books coming out. Disney, correct? Tell us about that.
I do. I have two books forthcoming, one in 25 and one in 26, and they're both rhyming picture books. And the first one is called Embarrassed Ferret. And so just think about like that one time at school, like maybe you were a second or third grader and that horribly embarrassing thing happened. All of the embarrassing things happened to poor little ferret on the same day.
Oh no, it's like the story of my life.
It's just a lot. It's a lot, a lot, a lot. So poor little ferret. I mean, maybe it'll be a series. It all takes place at the Forest School and their teacher is Miss Bunny. And, you know, Ferret has her bad day, basically. And then the second book is also at Forest School with Miss Bunny, and it's called Furious Turtle. So Furious Turtle, it takes place at the school fair, and he doesn't, you know, he doesn't win anything. Like, he,
what's up with turtles and being angry?
Yeah.
They look kind of naturally grumpy. That is very exciting. You are super busy.
I'm busy. Yeah, I love it. I'm grateful.
Do you dream in rhyme? Do your dreams, are they narrated in rhyming sequences?
That I don't know. I will try to pay attention and find out.
See, when you wake up the next time, you'll be like, yes, I do. I did not realize the way you describe this process and this universe, it sounds so fun for people who love words and wordplay and all of those interactions. It just sounds like it's a lot of fun. I mean, I know better than to try it because of my rhyming problems. But I could see people listening to this and being like, oh yeah, I got to try that because it just sounds so cool.
It's fun. I mean, I love it. And so kind of going back to that first question of why do agents and editors not want rhyme? They do. They do. They want it. And you just got to work at it, right? It's like anything else. You've got to work at it.
Yeah. And the bar is high. I mean, the bar is really high. And I think Lisa said this earlier when she said, you know, it's not that they don't want it. They just don't want the stuff that's not any good. And right. I think probably the large majority is not very good because It seems like a skill that you have to continuously hone to get it to the point where it is something that's going to be published and well received.
Yeah.
This has been so interesting. Right? Like, I mean, I'm feeling pretty smart, and I am going to go from this interview to one of my kids' sports events, and I'm going to talk about slant rhyme, and I'm just going to confuse the hell out of people because they're going to be like, what? Because I have knowledge now. I'm going to use it.
I know.
Good.
So thank you, Lisa, for joining us. This has been so much fun.
You're so welcome. I'm so delighted to be here. And of course, I'm a fan of the show. So it's really awesome to be on the show. So thank you. Thank you, Lisa and Beth. Really fun.
And listeners, remember, I'm going to put all of the books that are coming out. Lisa has coming out. She has the one that came out March 12th, Pirate. So you can find that right now. But she has more coming. So we'll put those all in the notes. And I will also put her website on the notes so you can find her and see what she's up to. She's got a lot of stuff going on. And be sure to visit writerswithwrinkles.net to follow, support, and share about the show. And we will see you again next week, April 8th, for a deep dive craft episode. So until then, my friends, happy reading, writing, and listening.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Writers with Wrinkles. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. This helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.